We're going to talk about Jerusalem today. This will be a follow-up on the TV broadcast last Friday called End Time Prophetic Sayings of Peace, Peace, Peace. You'll remember that we went through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, whereby it states, "You need not that I tell you about the times. For you know that when they say peace, 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 then, I repeat, then cometh sudden destruction. As a woman in travail," meaning with labor pains that bring in the birth of a new age. Well, where do we look for this peace? What do the scriptures say on this? Well, we're going to go into that a little bit today. It has to do with Jerusalem. And certainly between the bondwoman Hagar and her offspring Ishmael, you have the PLO. And then from the seed of Abraham, you have the true children of Israel, plus you also have the Kenites that claim to be of the seed of Israel involved in this so-called peace, peace, peace treaty. Let me tell you something. If you're getting all set for peace, forget about it. There is only one King of Peace, Prince of Peace, and that is Jesus Christ. It is when you make peace with Him that within your heart you find that peace of mind that is both terrestrial and celestial, that is both on heaven and earth. When Christ said, "Give your peace unto a house," He is our peace. So you give Christ unto that house. If they refuse it, then kick the dust off your feet and depart. All right? Jesus, when in Matthew 23, when He walked and He overlooked Jerusalem, and He looked at her and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, city of..." Let me translate it rather than transliterate it. "O city of peace, how oft would I have taken you under my wing as a mother hen does her little chicks, and you would not." And I tell you this, even this day, she will not. For there will be peace only at one time. And that's when He that rightfully brings peace brings it to us. I want you to open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6. First, I want you to document in your own mind where you obtain peace, and He that created you and sent this letter along as the instructions on how you operate this body to find happiness. And again, as I've stated many times, a lot of us do this like we do a lot of other things. We get a package and we start putting it together without reading the instructions. And we get all messed up because we find out this one little bitty piece left over belongs back at the very beginning, so you have to start all over. Well, a lot of times that's the way it works out with this. We go to His Word to find out where we obtain true peace, the only peace there is. Jeremiah chapter 6, I'm sorry, I want to start, I want you to go to 27 first, Isaiah 27, I apologize. Isaiah 27. As many of you will know, and if you know me very well, you know that I intended to start out with Jeremiah 6, but as an afterthought, I chose Isaiah 27. For those of you that do not have an index, Isaiah is right before Jeremiah. All right. Isaiah 27, to discover how we find our peace, the only peace there is. "In that day the Lord, with His sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." Now, for the intelligent person, what has He said to you there? He has mentioned three sea monsters, which are symbolic of none other than the two monsters that will rise from the sea of Revelation 13:1, and the dragon that is over them, which is to say Satan. What are we talking about then? Let's get it down to plain old country language. We're talking about the one world political system, and Satan that shall play the role of the serpent all over again looks like the lamb, as it is written in Revelation 13, verse 11. But he's got two horns like the lamb, but his voice is just like the dragon. Why? It's Satan pretending to be Christ, the lamb slain. God says, I don't like this. I don't appreciate it. And my wrath is built up because of this. Verse 2, in that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. You tell my people that there is such a thing as a vineyard of red wine. In other words, that's fruit. Even though those three enemies to those that love the Lord are present, there's still a vineyard for you. Do you know what that means? You're immune, friend, if you've got it up here. That is your inoculation to prevent yourself from being snake bit. And I'm speaking spiritual now, okay? Don't try this out. Don't go handling snakes on me, all right? They haven't read the Bible, all right? But that is your inoculation, and your immunity. You are immune then from being affected by lies and deceit as to how peace is going to come in. And that's really what it melts down to. You can try to complicate it all you want to, but the end times basically are the simplicity of the way peace comes in. There will be false peace, there'll be confused peace, and then there will be true peace. And don't you ever take your eye off the mark. For you, there is always a vineyard running with red wine, if you understand. All right, you're not deceived. Verse 3, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Do you understand what your Father's promising you there? I myself will see that vineyard is always there for you. That's His blessings, my friend. I don't care how mixed up the world is. I don't care how confused others might be. God Himself, emphatically in the Hebrew, I will water it. Hey, you water them old grapes. You keep them cultivated well, and you keep the moisture right night and day. And man, I mean, those old bunches of grapes come right on out there. In other words, you're blessed above all people if you listen to Him instead of mankind. You're going to be hearing many things in the coming months and weeks about peace. Don't you ever forget where you find true peace. This is how it will be. Even in the turmoil, you can enjoy that vineyard. 4, fury is not in me. God said, I'm not one that tears up Jake, all right? I don't have any fury in me. He's got a lot of wrath against his enemies, but not towards you, my friend. Fury is not in me who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle. I would go through them. I would burn them together. In other words, my friend, if God is tending your vineyard and some enemy decides to come and upset your peace of mind, do you understand what He asked you? He said, who in the world do you know that is strong enough that would keep me from protecting your vineyard? There just doesn't happen to be a critter like that, friend. Even the three that we foreread of that rise from the sea, which is symbolic of the peoples of the world in this generation. He said, there is nobody can strong arm me. I am a can-do type father, and I can cut it. That's what He's saying. Verse 5, or let him take hold of my strength. Even you can do that for protection. But He said, even let the enemy, if they choose, change their mind and take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. and he shall make peace with me. Only the Father can bring peace. Only the Father will make. Do you know why he said it? Yes, and the enemy will make peace to me, with me. Do you know what's going to happen on the first day of the millennium? Every knee shall bow. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're coming from. But when Almighty God, with the return of the Savior, steps foot on this earth in His supernatural power, everybody is going to say, Father, I love you. There will be no exceptions. Well, does that mean everybody's going to get saved? No, 1,000 years goes by. Hey, you know how people can get in 1,000. You know how they can get in 30 years, much less 10 years. Go from good to, hey, who cares? You know, hey, Joe. You know, it's real easy. We all understand how that can be, okay? Peace, and there's only one place you find it, and don't ever, ever let anyone tell you otherwise. You have that own set-aside little vineyard in your life spiritually. I don't care who yells at you. I don't care who complains at you. I don't care who shouts at you. That vineyard will protect you if you withdraw into it. Spiritually, I am speaking, my friends. Nothing will shake you. Hey, don't ever let them see you sweat, honey. All right? Don't ever let them see you sweat. Not when you have that vineyard that you can step into. They can pour it on. And you can look over and say, Willie, you don't bother me, boy. Okay? Now, let's go to Jeremiah 6 and let's look at the city of peace, if we may. We hear them cry, peace, peace, peace concerning Jerusalem. Hey, that's the good thing about this set of instructions. He wrote long ago telling us exactly how it would be. So there should be no surprises for you. Shouldn't be any at all. I have found that it happens exactly as it's written. And much of it is coming to pass in this generation. Let's pick it up with the 6th verse. Take a home assignment and take the entire chapter, but we're going to pick some verses here. I start here to document that we're talking about the city of peace, that when you say Jerusalem, that's what you're saying in the Hebrew tongue. Verse 6 of chapter 6, Jeremiah. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, hew ye down trees and cast them out against Jerusalem, not for it, while the enemy is there, encamped, against it. This is the city to be visited. It's going to be, beloved. That's why you hear peace, peace, peace between Ishmael and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, whoever they might be. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness, violence, and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. In other words, they promise peace and they promise healing. But he says, all I see coming out of there are wounds. That means hurts, unfairness. You know, bless little old Israel's heart. Do you understand how popular she has made the good old U.S. of A. in the world today? If you keep up with it, well, you know. That's why if you want to take a trip to any of the Arab lands, you better hire a bunch of bodyguards, and that probably won't get it done, friend. All right? Hurt. Trouble. Be thou, verse 8, be thou instructed. Can you be? Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Now, what is there special about this Jerusalem? In the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, God made an eternal covenant. He said, I built the earth, and I got a favorite spot there, just like you might have a favorite fishing hole or hunting place. He said, I love that place. And he even symbolically wed it. He created a marriage between him and that city. He said, that's where I'm going to live in the eternity. It's where I'm going to be. So that's why so much hinges. The first time Satan heard that, he's been a troublemaker ever since. You can count on it. He will continue to be. All right? He will continue to be. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the basket. Do you know what he's saying there? He promised true Israel that he would scatter them. And that's why so many people today do not find the Bible interesting. They don't know it's talking about them. 10 of the tribes went north over the Sumerian, out of Samaria. They went over the Caucasus Mountains and later were called Caucasians. Settled Europe and many of them later coming to America. They are the true Israelites. True Israel. Why do you think that America, the greatest superpower of all times, is blessed of God? God blesses America. For a very simple reason. Basically, we love God. We love our Father. Born in us, can't help it. Now, a lot of people would argue with that when you look at the streets of our cities, but I would say to you, look closely at the streets of the cities if you're going to see who troublemakers are, where violence comes from. Prime root, Satan. And then you take it from there and be honest with yourself in it. The big stick stirs trouble, agitates among the peoples, between all God's children, until racial tension builds up when there is no room there in the love of God for racial tensions. But the big stick stirs, and the trouble continues, and unfortunately our people are just not sharp enough to realize who's doing it to them. Basically, Satan. But the Kenites have very keen and conniving ways of stirring trouble to keep the spotlight off of themselves. A word to the wise is sufficient. There's much wisdom in that. I hope you can grasp it. All of God's children, God loves and uses and respects. But that's what he's saying here. Go out and gather those grapes. Do you know what? That's exactly what this ministry is about. Is gleaning and sifting all over this world, gathering together those that do know what that true peace is, what it means. Those that will stand up for their people and tribes and races, I don't care what race you are, to stand up for them and be a champion of them, to lead your people to that peace. Verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Question. Who can I do that to? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord. The what? The word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. The media of this nation today, and I thank God for free media, otherwise we couldn't be there. But any time Christian or something Christian is mentioned by the media, there are snickers, or, oh, part of that. And they make light of the only true way and the only true peace. Don't worry, it's well planned, my friend. It is very well planned. And the ears of the youth that are uncircumcised, which simply means they are unclean to hear God's word, because they have been blocked by lies and false teaching from the media as well as even, unfortunately, in some cases, churches. They consider being a Christian a reproach. Verse 11, therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. God says, I've got a little wrath towards my enemies because they do this to my people, that I've really got a hard time hanging on to it. Right now. What's right now? He's going to give us a time sequence in just a moment. Then you'll know. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken. the aged with him that is full of days. In what? The deception. Those that do not study this word will be pulled up in this one world deception, that is to say, the political that will turn into the religious, and false teaching shall reign supreme in that one world peace thing. Now, many people would say, hey, man, since the beginning of time has been saying the end of the world is coming. And sometimes in your personal lives, you see a walnut drop from a tree and you run around, the sky is falling. Okay. This is what keeps you straight, my friend. Not in history, until the year 1948, it was Jerusalem inhabited by that name and by those two fig baskets that Jeremiah 24 would state would come there as a sign of the end. You don't have to be too bright to see that. That's pretty simple. And then you had that historical event 2 days before the Civil New Year began. That was just a very few days ago. An historical account with Ishmael and the so-called representative of the inhabitants. And understand from Jeremiah 24 why I am saying the inhabitants of Israel. Suppose that Abraham signed that treaty. It was historic. And many people said it was historic. But how many times did you hear it said, it's prophetic? It is prophecy coming to pass. And probably the other way too. Okay, verse 11. Therefore I am full of... I'm sorry, we got that? Okay, let's go on with 12. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Those that will not listen, open their ears to the word of God, will be deceived. They're going to be caught up in it. They're going to worship something they would not worship were their ears to be open. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They deal with deception. We're going to go into the main thing that these priests and prophets would teach concerning the peace, 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 before we finish this lecture. How can the people know if the priests themselves are misleading them? It's really quite simple. Get in the vineyard of God and read it for yourself. Most everybody's pretty well educated in this generation. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, say slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's kind of like saying, they heal the daughter of my people when she's cut wide open and they put a Band-Aid on it and say, it'll be all right, darling. Be all right, darling. Friend, when there is conflict and tension in the world that you see today, even in our own nation, we have wars in the streets. And they cry, peace, peace. Don't let them slap that Band-Aid on you, friend. Because man can't bring peace. Only God. In that vineyard that you walk into. And it's as simple as taking a step into it spiritually. And you're there, friend. Whereby you won't be deceived when you follow up by familiarizing yourself with His Word. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? What is an abomination? The abomination of the desolator is worshiping Satan, as it's written by Christ in Mark 13. Nay, no way. That's what it says. They're not ashamed. You know why? They don't know they're doing it. They think they're doing right. Why? The priest told them. The preacher. The teacher. It's all right. That's what they're told. Come on. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Listen to the 16th verse very carefully. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where it is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall rest for your souls. You'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What are the old paths? The old way. God's way of teaching man, there's nothing new under the sun. He has the same sequence happen over and over and over, like we are children, to show us, hey, that's the way I did it then, and that's the way I'm going to do it again. But the people don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. So, get back into the old word. Learn and understand what path. For the old path is the new path. The old path is prophesied in the old way. And that path and that way, of course, is Christ. And when you have seen the Son, you have seen the Father. His word. And then your soul can rest. Why? Step into the vineyard. Don't stay outside of it. It's dangerous. It's confusing. Step into that vineyard of knowledge. And God, both night and day, will protect the very cells of your mind that store knowledge and give you the reasons and the wherefores that events happen in this world today. And you can find that peace. Okay? Well, what an interesting time. Hey, turn on with me, if you will. Well, let's take the 17th verse of that. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. In a sense, that's what this ministry is about. Is that big trumpet, is that big uplink sitting over here that goes around the world by audio to shortwave from video over this whole hemisphere, a third of the earth's surface, by pushing a button, we're there. And the warning is going to continue to go out. Whoever gives it, it will continue to go out. For we are in that generation. Well, are you saying, Brother Murray, that you and this ministry is something special? Well, I know what I am. I'm an old country boy. But I also know what my father is. And it is he that does it. It is he that cuts it. It is he that is the can-do father. And he takes real good care of us, and he blesses us real good. And anybody that can't see that doesn't recognize a miracle when they see it. Bless your hearts. Hey, I could tell you some stories about some of yourself and how he pulls people out of messes. I won't. I won't. Because mine would be the bigger mess. Oh, mercy. Well, he sets watchmen. And my friend, is he talking to you? Are you one of those watchmen? Have you said, hey, there's something wrong with this world and the way things are happening? We're getting too far away from the Word of God, and men are going yickety, yickety, yickety. One verse Charlies that never say anything other than, gimme, gimme, gimme. Money. All right? And isn't that the truth? I mean, I'm just being truthful, okay? That's really about what it melts down to. They're a bunch of beggars. One verse Charlie beggars. And we got a few good people, but I don't know. I keep looking. And on we go. Let's turn over to the 8th chapter of this same book of Jeremiah. And let's pick it up with verse 5 in this 8th chapter. Sometimes God, when He starts talking to us, He really gets down where the rubber meets the road, you know? It says there in chapter 8, verse 5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and they refuse to return. They would rather listen to a lie than hear the truth. That's what He's saying. Those that have been scattered all over the world. Don't forget, I hope you noticed earlier, He said, I'm going to visit those wherever they are in the world that are scattered. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. There wasn't a word of truth in what they said. That's what that says in the Hebrew. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying,
What have I done? I did what the preacher said.
Okay. Everyone turneth to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. They are headlong and hell-bent for sin, for doing wrong. And they say, we're not doing any wrong. We're just having a revival. It's very religious. Verse 7, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow, observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. It says the dumb animals can tell when they're smart enough to know when it's time to head south. But my people are so stupid, they don't have any conception or idea when to do what. When he's even warned them about the seasons, my friend, listen to me, a benchmark was set this week. A new one. Peace, peace, peace was cried concerning this city, Jerusalem. And don't you ever forget it. It's meaningful. The next step is the travail. That's why I insist that you get into the vineyard whereby the travail has no effect on you. You're going to remain barren. And you're going to be ready to serve Him. In whatever way He chooses different ways. It may just be a smile to somebody to encourage them, make them feel better. Verse 8, how do you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, continue, certainly in vain made He it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. Do you know what this really says in the Hebrew? How could you possibly be wise when your own scribes change every word I say? That's what it says. Your dumb scribes, teachers, preachers, ministers, change everything I say. And they're hell-bent like a horse going to battle, charging into messing stuff up, rather than let it flow. Oh, one verse Charlie's, dear, one verse Charlie's. 9, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? All wisdom comes from God. If they don't have the true writing of God or the ability to interpret it, they've got nothing. Therefore will I give their wives unto others and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. Do you know what that is? I'm too busy making a living. I've got to have more money because I need 2 new cars instead of 1 this year. You know, need a new church building. Comes first before the Lord. I'm glad it didn't in our case, beloved. We've lived in barns long enough, okay? And we deserve something a little bit, even if it doesn't have a... Well, I'd have to explain that on tape, and I don't want to. Okay. From the prophet, even... unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. It's hard to get it together, beloved, when the people of this world are faced with that. How are they going to know? By you. Some of you have a purpose and a destiny, and you've known it since you were a child that there was more to God's word than you'd been taught. Well, you're there because you're not like that unclean bird, the stork. You know when the season is. Get cracking. Okay, 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And then you have the very same verses that you do in that 6th chapter. We will forego it and go immediately to the 13th chapter of Ezekiel. As we begin to conclude, I want to show you now what it is that in that generation that the priest, the preachers would be teaching that is a lie, that is the prime root of deception in this season of peace, peace, peace. I've got news for you. It won't be news to most of you because you already know it. But it's interesting to document it. Verse chapter 13, the book of Ezekiel. Verse 1, I'm going to skip through this for the sake of time. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against, not for, my friend, the preachers, but against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you what, we have an awful thing going on in this country today. It's called one-upmanship by preachers. And they'll say, I spoke to God this morning. Yes, I heard from God, and He said I was to have root beer today instead of Dr. Pepper. You know? Might as well have. I asked God about my friend, and He said he'll always be a louse. God said it. Trying to make people think they have a close walk with God, and if God actually spoke to them, it would knock their socks off. They couldn't stand it. Am I judging people? No, but I've been there, friend. I know what it's like, and I know that God is not silly, and He doesn't tell people where to... If somebody is too stupid to know where to park their car, God's not going to tell them, all right? He can't use people like that. He's got to have people that know how to plow a straight furrow. Or He doesn't want to mess with them. All right? So, oh well. Anyway, He's not happy. You understand that. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, not mine, their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. Have any of you studied the book of Solomon? You know what those foxes are. They're the Kenites, all right, that jar the grapevines and knock off the little blooms before they're set. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. That's what we're talking. You know what that battle is, don't you? That's the return of Christ. And the events that transpire before that. Do you know how to fight the battle? That's what He's asking, do you? See? They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. God said they set themselves up as preachers. I saw a big GP in the sky, son. It meant go plow, all right, not go preach for a lot of people, all right? And I'm not judging them. Hey, God's gifts make room for themselves. You don't have to wonder if someone has a true gift of God. It shows, all right? And you can count on it. A lot of falseness in this world. How can you tell? Basically, do they teach the Word of God or... do they want to tell you about their Aunt Sybil? You've just got to know about my Aunt Sybil. This is something that all of you gathered in here today was to hear about dear Grandpa. He was a man of God. You gather in God's house to hear the Word of God, not about Aunt Sybil. Not that Aunt Sybil isn't a good old girl, all right? But God's house is for God's Word to strengthen the people whereby they have the courage to stand against the fiery darts of Satan in this earth age. Okay? Now, let's get down here to verse... we're going to go on to verse 7 there. Have you not seen a vain vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say the Lord said it, albeit I've not spoken. I didn't say a word. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity, because you've told lies... and seen lies. Therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. That's emptiness in the Hebrew tongue. And that divine lies, they shall not be in the assembly of my people. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. You know what book that is? That's the book of life, my friend. They won't be written there as... His chosen, that's what it's talking about. They're going to be over in the other column. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and you know what that, well, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. That's the reason. Because they have seduced my people,
saying, peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Do you know what that means? God is your wall. Get that real straight. Ezekiel 38 will make that clear to you for the troubled times. God is your wall. What it says, they put up a wall and promise it's eternal, and they whitewash it. Do you know what happens to whitewash when it rains? Not like paint, friend, down the gutter. It's gone. That's what their truths amount to. Whitewash down the gutter. It won't last, friend. It won't stand up. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower. And ye, O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. A stormy spirit. Do you know what stormy spirit's going to rend it? He just told you, I can't hardly hold this wrath in any longer. All right? So he continues on about the untempered wall. Now, my friend, you come to the truth of the matter concerning Jerusalem. Verse 15. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto them, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. They're gone. You won't see them in the congregation. They who? Well, let's find out. To wit, or for they are, would be a better translation. For they are the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Now you wake up for me and you listen real good. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And say, this is what you're to say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows, to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature, to hunt souls. Will ye hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that came unto you? We're talking about soul hunters. Do you want any souls? Do you love the Lord? Do you love Jesus? Are you saved? You better be careful who hunts your souls. Those false prophets hunt souls also, my friend. They have a special teaching that they use. God's going to warn you about it. I know how many of you have ears to hear, but I wonder how many in the world have ears to hear what the main deception consists of, what they say. First, let's talk about what God is saying in the Hebrew, and that's poorly translated. You women, and that there's no gender involved in that, religions. You religions that sew pillowcases and put them over my outstretched saving arms where people can't see them. Meaning changing my word to where people can't see the simple truth of salvation. Because you've got to play church. Because you've got to play salvation yourself, and you get out there and hunt the souls. Verse 19. And will ye pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls. We're not talking about bodies here, honey. We're talking about souls. Your spiritual being that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. What kind of lies are we talking about? Verse 20. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillows, wherewith you there hunt the souls to make them fly. And I will tear them from your arms, and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. That's exactly what it's talking about, my friend. You ever heard of the rapture doctrine? The word rapture is not in the Word of God. It's a lie. It wasn't taught until the year 1830. And as God is my witness, there probably isn't a person in the room that haven't heard the one verse Charlie say, you don't have to understand or worry about Revelation. You're going to be gone. You're going to fly away. You're going to be lifted out. It's a lie. And it is the lie in this generation that will lead people to the next Messiah that sets foot on this earth, which is to say the false Christ. And it is taught, I'm sorry to say, in the majority of the churches of this nation and the world. And it is wrong. And it is very evil. Well, they mean well. They're good people. Mm-hmm. They really are. And that's the sad part about it. I picture little old ladies. Widow. Husband passed away 20 years ago, and she goes to that church every time the doors are open, she sits there and sings hymns. Tries to live a good life, and that preacher lies to her like a dog about this flying away. Not telling them that there is a vineyard right now they can step into and God will protect them. Because we are to fight against the false Christ. We're to put the gospel armor on and in place to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. To be delivered up, to allow the Holy Spirit to tell us how to tell Him where to go. Alright? And not even He can gain against what you say at that time. Therefore, we come down to where the rubber meets the road. Never before in history has the big lie been so damaging as the rapture doctrine is to this generation. Well, why do you say that? You've been saying that for years. Because we passed a new benchmark. How many times have you heard me read from the Scripture, they will cry, peace, peace, peace. Hey, don't worry. Don't worry about the Antichrist, sweet. You're going to be gone. Isn't that sweet news and music to your ears? Well, yes, it is. Especially if the Reverend says it. And the Reverend will say it to you. He'll do it every time. All you got to do is believe. But they never quite get around to telling you what it is you're supposed to believe, which is the Word of God. You know, in this very town, city, many, many years ago, I worked with a group of people that most of them attended one church. And I'm not going to mention the denomination. But they wanted me to come and attend. And I said, okay, I will. We didn't have our own started at that time. And I said, have your minister, they'll come out to my house. I want him to know how I feel because I don't want to go in there and be called a troublemaker. And so help me God, and as God is my witness, and there are people that were in the room that heard it, in this room. After spending about 30 minutes telling him what I believed, he said, hey, come on down. That is so far above the heads of my people, they wouldn't know what you were talking about if you tried to share it with them. So help me God, that's true. That's true. They wouldn't know what you were talking about. And I went to that place, and there was a person there from... He said, when I graduated from seminary in New Orleans, I crossed the river and I threw all my notes and Scripture references and everything in the Mississippi River and just come home and start teaching Jesus. You have to teach. Jesus isn't the word saved. Jesus is definitely not the word rapture. Jesus is the living word, not one word, all of it. And you will search the old paths. Because very soon the deadly wound. How soon? Hey, 20 years sometimes can be soon. And when you get my age, 20 years is just a short time. Maybe tomorrow for all I know. That isn't the point. The point is, a watchman must always do what a watchman is hired to do. Whoa, what's that? Watch. Be ready. In season. The dumb birds know. They're not so dumb. Do you? My friends, what a fascinating time to live. Christ died on the cross. I'm going to give you a scripture and I'm going to talk about it a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through about 22. To break down the inner wall, whereby peace now is not only made on earth, but also in heaven, making us all one body in Him. And within that body is peace. And outside of that body, you don't have to worry about it. Just stand your ground and know that the Prince of Peace is He that brings to true peace. Then if we were to sum all this up into one cap, know that your peace is found in Christ. And when you put your peace off on a house or someone else, your peace is Christ. Share Him. There's plenty to go around. And I say that lovingly because He loves everyone. I hope you're not one of these that allow yourself to get, you know, that can't read boundaries. That's one of the major problems with God's watchmen. They can't read boundary markers. Here's my boundary here, and there's my boundary there, and there's my vineyard. All right? It's a good day. Hey, woo, and I walk out here and the whole world comes down on me. Oh, God, you've forsaken me. And little bitty troubles that I laugh at, maybe, become mountains to you. Or they may to me. Okay. I'm saying, you can't read the boundaries to your vineyard where you stay in it. And you get out and you, a Christian and a watchman and a servant of God, supposed to be a can-do type person, can't do flip. Oh, the world backfired on me. Dummy, get back in the vineyard. And from that side of the line, you can handle anything. I don't care how rough they get. You retreat in your mind into that vineyard of God. And I don't care if somebody is shoveling it on you faster than you can kick it out. You'll still float out. You'll make it. So learn the boundaries. What are they? Your number one boundary post is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And your final boundary line is Revelation chapter 22, verse what? 22? Is that right? My memory's getting bad. I'm getting on up into the 60s. Excuse me. I believe there's 22. Is it 22 verses? Well, what difference does it make? The last one. It's called what? Alpha and Omega. Keep your line straight, won't you? Now, we all get off of them every once in a while. But my friends, we have trained a long time to come to this place. From here on in, it gets serious, my friends. I hope you're listening. It gets real serious. Some won't make it. Some are too weak. But God's elect know their boundaries. And they'll keep that gospel armor on and in place. And when they cry, peace, 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 you will say, yes, like a river in me. Because I'm in my vineyard. I know my boundaries. But are you sure about yourself? Where are you? And that's your position as a watchman. You need not that I tell you of the time. I'm quoting 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For you know very well that it is written, when they cry, peace, 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 from Jerusalem, which not since Christ walked the earth has been headed by the two fig baskets. And if we were to have continued on in chapter 8, you would have learned a little more about the fig baskets. See that you take it as a home assignment.
You need not that I say any more about the time. For when they say that, then you know, you already know, sudden destruction, which is the deadly wound. Where will it come? It becomes pretty obvious, does it not? But then if I were to name one spot, such as Jerusalem, or that area, then I would have to tell you about the Hezbollah, and I would have to tell you why they're crying peace anyway. The fundamentalist, not the Baptist now, I'm not talking about the Baptist, are the fundamentalist of Islam in Iran are building the roughest, toughest, best armed Hezbollah group that has been for many years. Hezbollah, the party of God. And Israel has just got her some shock troops out beyond her border to fight off the Hezbollah to keep Israel off the back of the PLO. All right, are you with me? If not, it doesn't matter. All right, it really doesn't matter. Strange things are happening in this world today. Keep up with it. But know, from here in, we're plowing deep and deeper and deeper and deeper. And let me give you a little word of encouragement. God is blessing us more and more and more. We're now in over 100 million homes via television. Millions more by shortwave radio. You're a part of that, plus what you do in your own lives. And we are becoming a powerful force to deal with. And if you haven't, you know, I don't flip the dial that much. I don't have time. But usually on Sunday evening when I finish here, sometimes I'll flip it on and I hear a replay of one of our sermons somewhere, at least parts of it. Okay? Man, are we giving them some fodder to work with. And that's wonderful. All right? Praise God. It's His Word. It's not copyrighted. All right? I say that to let you know you are making a difference. And don't you ever think you're not. We're making a big difference. And people are beginning to take note.